guy and preach, but I ain't going to run around you, okay? That all right? Amen. All right. Psalm 98, verse number 1. Psalm 98, verse number 1. If I done shook your hand, I'm sorry. All right? Everybody stand. Psalm 98, verse number 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, please take the word of God. Help us tonight for just a moment. I pray, Lord, you calm our mind, Lord, our body here for just a moment. You know what we need. And so, Lord, you're going to have to help us. And, Lord, I pray you do that. If you do that, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 98, we said on last week, it would appear to us as it falls in this vein, in this line of Psalms that deal with the messianic coronation hymns of exalting the Lord Jesus Christ in his coming earthly kingdom. And I believe that's easily found and seen in Psalm 98, just a simple reading of the 9 verses we just done. I think it's magnifying the fact that the Lord reigns and that he's going to reign, that he always has reigned and he always will reign. And what a psalm this psalm is. It is from this psalm Isaac Watts is said to have found inspiration to write that hymn, Joy to the World. Amen. That song or that hymn, we sing it in the Christmas time, is a song about his first advent. Really, it's about his second advent. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. And it was Psalm 98 again that it is believed Isaac Watts found the inspiration to pen that wondrous hymn down. This is the only psalm of the 150 that is titled simply a psalm. It's not a psalm of David. It doesn't have an instrument associated with it, or a theme or a background that is found in the heading of this psalm, but it just simply says it's a psalm. It seems to be just another song about Jesus, but we said on last week that when you're singing about Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, and Judge, this psalm and no psalm really about him could ever be just another psalm. And so this is a magnificent psalm, 9 verses that are wonderfully orchestrated and penned down under inspiration of the Holy Spirit to magnify the Lord Jesus, amen, in a special way. This psalm is intent upon inspiring the people of God to do both some singing and some shouting. And so it opens up the first line, O sing unto the Lord a new song. The matter of singing, a song to the Lord, a freshness in our singing, a newness, a stirring in our heart to sing to the Lord, amen, from this very psalm. And not only singing, but that of shouting. In verses 4 and 5 and even 6, we find the same theme of singing, but to do so with an uplifted voice, a loud noise and a joyful noise should come from our lips. And so we make a study of these phrases that are used, the words that are used, the word noise simply meaning that to split the ears with sound, to shout, make a joyful noise, David says. And so it deals with lifting up our voice, amen, with a sound or a shout that would split the ears. The word voice that is used in verse number 5 means to call aloud. To call aloud, not just a whisper, but the word voice means to call aloud. Again, the idea of lifting up our voice, the word rejoice, as is used in verse number 4, amen, make a loud noise and rejoice. And that word rejoice there simply means to creak or to shout. And so all these words have basically the same idea. Amen, that there is singing, there is shouting, there's a lifting up of the voice, there's a glee and a joy and a loudness of volume that is associated with this. And so the idea is that of to do so joyfully, to sing and shout joyfully with much volume, the idea being that of celebration and the excitement of one's passions about the Lord. This old psalm is about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's about being passionate about what He has done and about who He is, and I'm getting excited about that to the point that we would begin to shout and show our, amen, our passion or excitement, some emotion, amen, about who Jesus is and has done in our life. And we give you the first truth last week. And quickly as I can, we'll give you the second two this week. Number one, last week, verses 1-3. Now our thought is this, what's all the shouting about? Amen. If the psalm is about getting us stirred to shout about the Lord Jesus, what is all the shouting about? And last week, verses 1, 2, and 3, we've seen His saving victory. His saving victory. Amen. The shouting from God's people, our enthusiasm and excitement and passion and emotion, it is about His saving victory. Amen. The heart of David sets first upon the foremost inspiration for our shouting, and that is the simple thought of the salvation of the Lord. And so He saved us. We ought to be shouting about that. Amen. There ought to be a newness of and freshness. Amen. Not only in our singing, in our song, but in our soul. Amen. If we know His saving victory, if we have been touched by His saving victory and our life has been saved, amen, we ought to be shouting. We looked at the marvel of salvation, verse number 1. How that David said that He hath done marvelous things. Amen. And saving us, that is not the mundane. Amen. That is not the casual. That is not, amen, something that is meaningless. But David said, it is a marvelous thing that the Lord has shown us His saving victory in our life. Amen. Marvelous meaning something extraordinary or difficult. Amen. Something that is wonderful. Amen. Is it not wonderful that we're saved tonight? Amen. What is marvelous? What is marvelous about it? Amen. Is that He had done this. Amen. We did not do this to ourselves. Amen. We cannot obtain this ourselves, but, amen, it is marvelous because He hath done this. Amen. He done it all by His own hand, and what a marvel salvation is. We looked at the message of salvation that He has made it known, and thus has raised up men of God and preachers and Christians with a witness and a testimony to tell of what the Lord has done. We looked at the method of salvation in verse number 3, as it is only possible by mercy and by truth. And then we ended on the multitudes of salvation, verse number 3, how that not only is this to Israel, but it is to all the ends of the earth, to the Jew first, but not to the Jew only. And so thank God there is hope for, amen, mankind, every man, every woman, every boy and girl. The Lord would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of His salvation. And thank God there's hope for every individual tonight. Amen. What's all the shouting about? Amen. What are we singing about? What is the excitement about? Amen. It is about His saving victory. Number two, consider verse 4, 5, and 6. All the shouting is about His supreme vision. Amen. There is a vision that David, amen, takes in of the Lord tonight. Amen. In Psalm 98, he sees the Lord, amen, in a supreme vision. David invites us then to look heavenward and behold, amen, the Lord as the King. Amen. Yes. Amen. That is a supreme vision. Amen. God's people can't help but make a loud, joyful noise when they see again afresh and anew, and to see it in a real and a personal way, amen, that the Lord is King and that our King is indeed still on the throne.
Amen.
Amen. In Psalm 98, the Lord is not removed from the throne. He, amen, has not been reduced to a servant. Amen. He's not been reduced to an exile. Oh no. Amen. David said, look at what I've seen. Amen. Our God, our Lord, the one who saved us, He is the King. And so we consider this tonight, amen, as an object or an inspiration, amen, for our shouting and our singing and our spiritual excitement. Amen. I see His position as the King. Amen. The Bible said here is not a man, amen, or of the earth, but is over all. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. And so David is calling upon everybody that's on this plane, Brother A.L., amen, to look toward that pinnacle, amen. And what it reveals is that He is the King, amen, is in a position that is over all the earth. Amen. It is He that sits on high. Amen. It is He that, my friend, inhabits heaven and heaven's throne. He is over all. His position as the King. Amen. But notice His power as the King. Amen. He is not viewed here as a king. Amen. But He is taken into view here as the King. Amen. Notice our verse in verse number 6, where David said, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Amen. Not a king, not one of many, not, amen, one that is ascended, and there are others that are trying to attain to what He is and take His position. Amen. But David just says emphatically, amen, He is the King. I call that His power as the King. And for indeed He is, as the Word of God declares, amen, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. May I say tonight what excites me in this supreme vision of our God, amen, is that He sits on the throne. Nobody, amen, He's not threatened by anybody. He ain't worried about anybody taking His crown. He's not worried about anybody kicking Him out of His seat. Amen. He is the King, period. Always has been, is, and evermore shall be. Amen. And that's reason to shout tonight. And then notice this. It's a wonderful truth here that I say. Amen. In His supreme vision, David speaks not only of His position and His power, but notice His presence as the King. Listen again to what David said in verse number 6. Make a joyful noise. I love this. Before the Lord. You say, what does that mean? That means we can come before the Lord. He is not a distant, but a very near and a very gracious King. Amen. He's not one that has banished us. He's not one that says, leave me alone. He's not one that is disinterested. Brother Mike, He is a King. He is the King. Amen. That invites us to come into His presence. Amen. The invitation has been given. Amen. And He not only says you can come, but He says you can come boldly. Amen. You can come for yourself. Amen. You don't have to get somebody, amen, to come for you. You can come into His presence yourself. Amen. What a supreme vision David said. Amen. Why do we shout? Amen. Why do we sing? Why do we lift our hand? Why do we weep tears of joy? Why do we make a loud noise from time to time? Amen. Because in the supreme vision that we have of our Lord, He is the King. Amen. And we can enter His presence at any time. Amen. Amen. That is something to be excited about. What's all the shouting about? Amen. His supreme vision. Number three, and I'll be done, His settling verdict. His settling verdict. In verses 7, 8, and 9, David takes into thought the coming of Christ. I believe he sees prophetically that Jesus is coming. I think that that thought springs forth a shout that David has in his own heart and is trying to inspire us in this psalm to have as well. For when Jesus comes, there are going to be some issues that He alone is going to settle.
Amen. Right.
This world has a lot of troubles and a lot of problems tonight.
Right.
We're living in a world and we're living lives in a venue, if you will, that is absolutely in turmoil and in trouble.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
But when Jesus comes, He is going to settle. He is going to give what I call a settling verdict. He is going to bring peace to the chaos.
Amen.
He is going to bring victory to the war. He is going to settle down all those things that have us so, Brother Jerry, so tore up.
Amen.
And so what a day that's going to be. Amen. It's as if shouting, amen, over His saving victory and His supreme vision and those things that are tangible to our faith tonight, amen, is not enough. We can shout on credit for that the Lord is going to do.
Amen.
Amen. In the settling verdict, I threw it out briefly, and it's probably all I'm going to be able to do tonight, but consider the curse will be settled. When Jesus comes again, the curse will be settled.
Amen.
Look with me in verse 7 and in verse number 8. And see if you don't see this with me. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. I take that to mean that, amen, that David is saying the sea and then all the creatures, all the fish and all the different species of things that are in the sea. Amen. Let them roar. Let them make some noise. Let them, amen, have some emotion and some passion. He said, the world and they that dwell therein. And so He's speaking about creation. He's speaking about the world that the Lord has made and the things that, amen, the Lord has planted and the things that the Lord has grown. And then He said in verse number 8, let the floods clap their hands and let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Now it seems to me that creation is in view. It would seem to me that what David has in mind is the things that the Lord made 6,000 years ago in Genesis chapter number 1.
Yes.
Here creation has replaced its groaning for gladness as it takes in its redemption from the curse. You understand that when the Lord made the world and all that's in it, that God said it was good. When God made it, God said each and every day when He got done, He said, "This is good." Amen. Genesis 3, when Adam took him the fruit and he ate it and rebelled and disobeyed against God, Adam brought what God said was good, brought a curse on creation. Yes. Everything about the world we live in tonight lieth in wickedness. That's what the Bible said. Look with me in Romans chapter number 8. Let me show you this verse. I know I'm slowing down. Y'all just understand I'm doing the best I can. This is the best I can do right now. All right? Romans chapter number 8. Look with me in verse number 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, the children of God, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption, the redemption of our body. The child of God groans. There is a part in us, if you were saved. Now, you may not be living in all of it right now. Amen. This world may have caught your eye. Amen. But there's a part of you as a child of God that longs for the redemption of this body, to be redeemed from all of this wickedness and all of this curse. Now, in the context of Romans 8, Jesse, Paul said, what you have as a believer, the whole of creation has, waiting on that same redemption.
Amen.
Now, I can't explain all of this. Brother Jeremy, I can't explain all of this. All I know is there is a curse on creation tonight. And when Jesus comes, He is going to settle the curse. And He is going to take what sin and the curse, amen, has brought this whole world to lying wickedness, and He is going to return it back and look at it again and say it's good again.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Right now, the lion and the lamb, amen, do not get along.
Right.
Right now, children cannot pick up the adder and the serpent without being bitten.
Right.
But when Jesus comes again, Brother Larry, He is going to settle the curse. And there's going to be redemption brought upon creation. Creation is groaning for that tonight. Amen. And I believe, amen, when Jesus comes again, the Word of God said the lion and the lamb are going to lay down together. And children will pick up serpents without fear and without harm to being bitten. Amen. They'll play together. Amen. So explain all that. All I can tell you is when Jesus comes again, the curse is going to be lifted. And you think this world's something now, and there are things that are just mind-blowing we see. You wait till the curse is lifted. And my friend, amen, creation can give God glory the way, amen, that He intended for it, amen, to be.
Amen.
I could blow your mind on some things. I wouldn't be dogmatic about it. But in Revelation 5, when Jesus says the Lamb of God takes that book and all of heaven breaks out, amen, shouting and singing and giving glory, amen. John said down on earth, he said all everything on earth, every beast on earth, every fish in the sea started lifting up their voice and glorifying God as well. Amen. You say, what about all that? Amen. While they're doing that, they know their redemption. Creation understands its redemption is drawing nigh. And David said, when they see Jesus coming, the floods are going to clap their hands. and the hills are going to come alive with joy, and the sea is going to begin to roll and boil up and roar, and every, amen, the fish that are in it's going to be jumping up saying hallelujah. Amen. The whales are going to come up and say, bless His holy name. Amen. And the creation, the whole of the world, the fullness thereof, amen, is going to begin to, amen, give glory in the way that God gave them the ability to. But, amen, fall short of under a curse, they're going to be able to glorify Him because Christ is going to settle the curse. Amen. That's found in Psalm 98.
Amen.
Amen. You just thought that was on Chronicles of Narnia and movies you've seen. That stuff's going to happen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The curse will be settled. Amen. The complications will be settled. You say, what do you mean? Christ has said to pass the verdict of His judgment with righteousness and with equity. Amen. Meaning straightness, evenness, rectitude. And really the idea is He's going to make right what's been wrong. Amen. And I said on last week, it bears saying again, I probably said it better last week, I'm going to say it tonight, but you're hearing a lot about equity in our day. There was a time 5 years ago you heard politicians and people talking about equality. We want equality among rich and poor, and we want equality between blacks and whites and Hispanics and equality. Their word equality is turned into the word equity. And what they mean by equity is we're going to make all these past injustices, we're going to make them right. And the way they're talking about making it right is by bringing other injustices upon other groups so that others who have had injustices feel better about themselves. And I made the statement on last week, and I hope you've been pondering on it. They ain't a human being alive. They ain't a human being alive in their own power and their own ability without the Word of God can give equity in things where wrongs and injustices have been committed. You cannot make it right. Equity belongs to God. Amen. So when men start trying, this is the problem we're seeing in our day, when men start trying to pass equity and give equity in a situation, they will always create another injustice against another group or another person. Amen. Only God can mete out right, real righteousness and equity in a straight and even way. We all have, and here's my point on this, we all have been done wrong. We all have been done wrong. We all have had lies told on us. We all have had betrayals. We all have had things that have not gone our way. Amen. I call those complications, things you just can't get right no matter how hard you try. Now, if you ain't a spiritual-minded Christian, you'll get bitter, you'll get upset, and you'll live your life hanging on to some injustice that's been done, and you'll get defined by something that's been done wrong in your life. You'll define everything you are by wrong. Say, preacher, how do I get victory over that? I'm just going to tell you how God has done it in me, and it bears out in the text. You've got to remind yourself, God will make right every wrong that has been committed against us. Amen. Amen. And on that day, you may see it even in a different way.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because God sees it better than you see it.
Amen.
That's why we can't mete out equity. You may think you know it all, but you don't know it all. You don't know why people do what they do. You sit down and reason it with this and that. You don't know. God has all the record perfectly clear. And there's coming a day. I believe this with all my heart. Some of us are going to go to the presence of the Lord at His coming. And there's some things we can't make right for whatever reason. We just can't get it made right. The Lord's going to sit us all down together and say, all right, here's righteousness and equity, and He is going to settle those complications.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
May one of us be able to pooch our lip and feel sorry for ourselves on that day. Amen. I'm glad He's going to settle it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The choice about Christ will be settled. Here He's coming, David said, to judge the earth. Now I take that to mean those that are of this world who do not know Christ. Amen. It's important what an individual does with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's absolutely important. It is important that they make the choice to receive Him as Savior and Lord right now. Amen. Right now, in this hour and in this time. Amen.